Hello, Jonas. Oh, hello, Lydia. Hello, Jonas.
Here we are at Smart Office.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's a little bit of reverb, which is something that's new for us.
A little echo going on.
But we're just going to try to run with it.
I think it'll be fine.
Acoustics are important in this episode because...
Ooh, we're talking about...
We're talking about music.
Music.
Yeah.
Episode 1-8, called... We're going to call it Björn Björk.
Björn Björk. Because...
Oh, can you say that again, like, with a lovely Icelandic accent on the Björk?
Björn Björk.
Say it one more time.
Björn Björk.
There we go. That was lovely. Thank you.
Because there's a lot of music here. I just feel like there's some like interesting notes that Icelandic music hits.
Yeah.
Not to get too into the metaphor that sort of get ignored. Because they're not Björk or Sigur's or Moon or Of Monsters and Men.
Yeah.
Any of the big names that have left the country.
Yeah.
There seems to be some like essential Icelandic like musical acts that sort of inform who they are.
Okay.
What they're all about.
All right. You're going with the essentials. I did a little research on some of the new kids.
I did, yeah. Well, the two people I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about three people.
Okay.
Or three acts. And two of them are new, one of them is old.
Okay. That sounds like a good spread.
Yeah. Are all of yours new kids on the block?
All of mine are new kids on the block.
Okay.
Because I feel like I needed to know what was out there. Because I kind of know all, not, I don't know all the old stuff. But I'm married to an Icelander. He's almost 50.
Yeah.
He's exposed me to most of the like classic Icelandic tunes.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to see what's going on right now. What are the kids listening to?
Yeah.
I want to be hip to the jive.
You are constantly hip to the jive. You are a trend spotter if there ever was one.
I am.
Yeah, you're a trend spotter. You're like scouting
the
music scene.
I totally
for
am.
Our listeners and reporting back, letting them know what's the hizzaps and who is up and coming.
Many a drunken night on the streets of Reykjavik
constantly,
looking for the new stuff.
If you're not vomiting from a hangover, you're in the club. Got your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, that's me.
No, but really, I feel like we've actually done just a modicum of research. And when I say a little, I mean the Googling on the way over here.
We have children. We have jobs.
We have dogs. There's a dog with us.
There's a dog right
in
here.
In the studio today.
Snuggled up to Jonas, keeping him warm.
Yeah.
But before we go too deep into our Icelandic music, I thought it would be a good idea to give our listening audience a little background.
Wait, I'm sorry. Before we get into music, can I just say?
Yeah.
Happy Winter Festival.
Happy Winter Festival.
Good winter to you, madam. Good winter to you. No, but I have to say this Winter Festival has been kind of a great one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you seen the way Hogsmeade is lit up right now?
I did.
They have these very powerful lights.
I had a question for you.
Yes.
So I know the Winter Festival is a relatively new thing.
Yeah, I think it's like less than 10 years old.
Okay. So it's less than 10 years old.
That's a guess. I hope it's not like 400 years old.
But see, here's my question. I saw photographs from the opening ceremony, if you will, of the Winter Festival.
Yeah.
And folks were dressed up Viking style.
Yeah.
So is this like a revisited type situation? Like this is something they used to do back in the day and they're just bringing it back? Like why were they dressed old timey if this is a relatively new thing?
This is a complete stab in the dark.
Okay.
Is that something that we say? Yeah. Stab in the dark.
Yeah. I find it hilarious also that like our knowledge of like idioms and like sayings, we're always like, is that really a thing? Is that something I made up or did I just, is that an Icelandic thing and I made it?
Yeah, suppose that from the least of the Icelandic show to me.
Yeah.
So my stab in the dark.
Yes, that is correct.
Is one of the events this year is happening at the Saga Museum. And I think maybe I guess they were going to like stage a Viking rally or have some sort of Viking-esque event.
Okay.
And maybe those people who were partaking in it came to the opening ceremonies and dressed up like Vikings.
Right.
But a lot of it is, of the winter ceremony, is not like hokey Viking stuff. It's more like arts.
Okay.
Art and, because one of the big events for the winter festival is museum night. And the museums have really just kicked it up a notch.
And so the museums are just like open like in later, or what's the deal?
Well, they're open and free.
Open and free.
Yeah, and they have some really great exhibitions going on. Mm-hmm. We went to the Harpa, and there they have a model of the moon, mm-hmm. which is a big ball. Mm-hmm.
As the moon is, big round hunk of rock.
Big round hunk of rock. But they have like high def projections of the surface of the moon on the surface of this ball.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty impressive, actually. And mm-hmm. it sort of glows. I don't know if the projectors are inside the sphere or if they're projected mm-hmm. from the outside. You can't see the projectors anywhere. Mm-hmm. There's just this like glowing moon in there, and it's very large. Nice. It's like the diameter. It's like the diameter of a city bus. Mm-hmm. It's big.
Yeah.
And you can really see detail in the surface of the moon covered in craters.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Who knew?
We also went to the National Museum and they had the queer choir singing a couple songs. And then they had a queer guided tour. Mm-hmm. of the exhibition.
So,
and right now, as part of their like exhibition, it's not just part of Culture Night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had like people come in who helped with the exhibition to actually lead this tour. It was fascinating. But you can take an audio guide. You can have like a rainbow audio guide.
Okay.
And it takes you on a queer history of Iceland, like some of the artifacts. They sort of touch on how it ties into queer history and things like that.
Okay. And did you learn something new?
I learned all things new because mm-hmm. I had no idea about queer history in Iceland whatsoever.
Yeah. As we've talked about before, Iceland is pretty, pretty accepting of just whoever you are. And so I feel like there's not a lot for people to kind of band together and rebel against or to like try to like be like, no, this is who I am.
No, it turns out there was like, Yeah, there is quite a queer history to Iceland, but it's just not something that's talked about very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever, if you get too specialized in anything in Iceland, it becomes infinitesimally small.
Yeah.
Like there is a deaf population here and there's Icelandic sign language, but there's mm-hmm. so few people who speak Icelandic sign language. It's like 200 people. You know what I mean? Wow. So just talking about something like queer history, you're talking about just like a super small subset. But yeah, it's there and it's fascinating. If you're in Iceland, you should go see the Rainbow Thread exhibition at the National Museum.
How long is it running?
I have no idea. I mean, they have it painted on the wall, so I feel like if they went that far, it's probably going to be
there. So maybe it's going to be there maybe until Pride,
which is in August.
That would be a long time.
That'd be a long time, but all right. I mean, I hope they, I would love it if they would keep it up all the time.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's a great thing to go check out. So anyway, the Winter Festival and Museum Night turned out to be pretty great mm-hmm. this year.
And the kids behaved. I know you were like, are we going to go to this thing? And they're going to go crazy.
Yeah, they were totally fine.
Okay, great.
Because it didn't start till 7, but they were fine. They were fed. They were fine.
Ooh.
Did you do anything for the Winter Festival?
No. We went out to dinner last night, and that's when I remembered there was a Winter Festival happening.
Whoops.
Because we walked outside, and the streets were blocked off. We were like, oh, right, there's something happening. Hmm. And then we just went to dinner and then came home.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Where'd you go?
We went to Glow.
Oh, yeah, it's close.
The vegan eatery. And then we went to, had a little cake and tea at Cafe Breslin. Breslin. Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
It was lovely. And we got a little audience engagement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We got a couple of comments on the Instagram and the Facebook.
Okay.
And we got confirmation from both Daniel and your mom.
That they are listening.
And that the buck stopped at Truman. Yeah. And there are fireworks New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because I know our listening audience was dying to know if that was correct.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm glad we were able to clear that stuff up.
Yeah, done. And since this episode is about music, I thought it would be interesting to talk about where we're coming from.
Yeah,
because
we are picking a very few things from all of Icelandic music.
Exactly. Just little things, that, at least for me, just a couple of things that pricked up my ears and also just that the kids were listening to. Not that I necessarily listen to that kind of music all the time.
Right. Some people should know our credentials.
Yeah. Like where do we come from?
Right.
First of all, we're Americans. So there's that. Also, I made up a little thing, a little...
We're Americans of a certain age, I'll remind everyone.
A certain age, that's for damn sure, as our joints are telling us today. So here are the categories. Because we are of a certain age, first category is your first or favorite and or favorite LP or 45. Now,
So we're talking like a little bit about our music history?
Our music history.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, a 45 was a vinyl record. It was a small one that you played at the speed of 45 rotations per minute because it was little. So it spun around on the turntable a little bit faster than your 33 and a third. Is that what it was? 33 and a third? Which is like your regular record LP. Okay, so when I was little, my mother had Jackson 5, I Want You Back on 45. Uh-huh. And I would listen to it all the time. It was my favorite. I Want You Back, Jackson 5. And my first, actually, I don't know if it was my first record, but the one we got for Christmas and everybody got for Christmas that year, Janet Jackson, Control.
Okay.
That record.
We didn't, I didn't grow up with records. Mm-hmm. My grandma had records at her house, so we would play whatever she had there. But later on in life, we started to get records. And I really do enjoy records because it's a different way of listening to music where you put something on and it just goes.
Yeah.
When we lived in Connecticut, we had a pretty sizable record collection. Mm-hmm. It was nice to put something on. I always reached for Neil Young, Harvest. That was our record that we always put on.
And Neil Young, just, Harvest.
Yeah. Okay. And it made for a nice afternoon.
Mm-hmm. It sounds very Connecticut.
Yeah, I guess so. He's Canadian, though, I think.
Yeah, you know, in that part of the world. It feels very like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like the trees are changing and let's walk the dog in the forest.
Yes.
Like that.
Neil Young.
Okay, and next up, first and or favorite cassette tape.
Yeah, now this is when I was a kid. We had cassette tapes when I was a kid.
Well, there was like the, you know, recording off of the radio. But the first cassette that I bought with my own coinage was Word Up by Cameo.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my first album that I got on a cassette.
Was it a whole album?
Oh, yeah.
Did it have like a little plastic house that it lived in that you popped open?
Yeah, a plastic house. It's just like the case. Yeah.
The case.
Yeah.
It's just so funny how those things work. Because like they would get eaten up by the tape player and you have to like pull them out, like the tape would all come out with it. And you have to get like a pen to like spin it around. Mm-hmm. I didn't. We had some cassette tapes. I remember having them in the car, but really what I remember cassette tapes is from people's mixtapes, because you couldn't easily make a mix CD.
Right.
So I feel like people would give each other mixtapes. So my cassette tape that I remember most is one that no one else had, because it was a mixtape that my friend Augusta made for me.
Aww.
That was mainly like Magnetic Fields, Belle and Sebastian, and Saint Etienne. Those were like, those are the bands that I discovered on mixtapes.
Aww.
But what about your CD? And you did buy at one point your first CD, right?
I did at one point buy my first CD back in 1991. Oof. Yeah, yeah. And I got Low End Theory, A Tribe Called Quest.
Okay.
Which is like one of the best hip hop albums ever. Like you can put it beginning to end, perfection.
You know, that is a much cooler CD than the one that I got.
Yes. It's still cool though.
Because I think I also got my first CD in like right around 91.
Yeah.
And I believe that the CD that I got was a single of Vibology from Miss Paula Abdul.
The legendary Paula Abdul.
And I remember popping that thing out and putting it into the CD player. And I was like, how is this thing going to work?
Yeah.
There's no tape.
There's no tape. There are no ridges. I don't see any ridges for the needles to play upon.
How is this going?
How does it work? This magic.
And I listened to it over and over and over again, and it sounded so crisp.
Yeah, so clear.
And I remember thinking, how cool is it that at a push of a button, I can go directly to the beginning of the song.
I know.
Instead of having to hit rewind.
Yes. Like magic it was.
Yeah, Miss Abdul brought me into the age of the CD.
All right. First MP3.
My first MP3 was, I had the old school iPod.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Was it called an iPod? Yeah, it was called an iPod.
Yeah, iPod. First generation iPod.
It was like as large as a deck of cards.
Yes, and I remember thinking, oh, it's so small. I look at it now. I still have it.
Yeah, it had like 5,000 songs on
it. And it's like a brick.
I guess so.
A small brick, but a brick nonetheless.
I mean, it was roughly the size of an iPhone, but like it didn't also like attach you to like the World Wide Web or phone calls. Like all it did was play music with the spinning wheel. That was all. I think I had my first MP3 was Song Against Sex by Neutral Milk Hotel. I remember moving that track over first because I really wanted to see what was going to be like to.
Yeah, what is this new world?
Yeah, to have that little, to carry around all my music with me.
My first purchase on the iTunes, in the iTunes store back in the day, Crazy in Love by Beyonce.
That seems like so recently. That's like a recent song.
Doesn't it? But it's not.
Yeah.
That was the first song I bought. Like, I had other songs that I put on, like, right. that I had on CD and yeah. that I put on the iPod. But the first MP3 that I bought,
okay,
Crazy in Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's in heavy rotation now?
Speaking of Beyonce.
Yes.
I recently started listening to the Beyonce Jay-Z collab,
uh-huh.
The Carters. It's actually pretty good.
Okay.
I enjoy it. It's very... very much them. Very much Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Oh, the Carters.
Yeah, the Carters.
I thought you meant like the Carter family.
No. What do you mean, like Jimmy Carter? Who did you think I was talking about? Like
June Carter.
Like the Cashes? Cashes?
Yeah, the Carter Cashes, but like the Carter family.
Right, no.
Okay. It surprised me. But I was like, all right.
No, I'm not. I mean, Johnny Cash is fine, but I'm not. The Muffin. He listens to Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
Okay.
So the Carters, and then also a mélange of 80s and 90s R&B. That's my sweet spot. That's my home base.
Yeah.
80s and 90s hip-hop and R&B.
Okay.
So that's always on rotation. And you?
I've been listening to a lot of like late 60s, 70s music.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to that kind of music basically since we moved to Iceland.
Yeah.
Because there's something like very warm and fluid about it and sort of folky and jazzy. And it's something that like is a nice counterpoint sometimes to like the harsh Nordicness.
To the howling winds.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's a quiet, peaceful day in Connecticut. I'm not being blown out to sea.
I've been listening to a lot of Van Morrison. His album, Astral Weeks,
mm-hmm.
is really nice and sort of vibey. I don't know. I like it.
Vibey.
Yeah. He sings a lot about his like childhood on there. It's a feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a feel good record.
Makes you warm and fuzzy.
All warm and fuzzy.
When it's cold outside.
Yeah. So I feel like we have a good, we've established a good like baseline.
Yeah. You know who we are, people.
Yeah.
And now.
We are sometimes super cool with our, you know, A Tribe Called Quest. Sometimes we've got some Paula Abdul albums back in the back there. But you know what? We're honest.
And sometimes, you know, I don't want you to think I'm super cool because I also have like some Kylie Minogue going on.
What's wrong with Kylie Minogue?
I don't think of her as cool.
What? Why is Kylie Minogue not cool?
She's very poppy.
Oh my God. Have you ever heard, this is, I know you meant poppy as in like pop, as in the vein of pop music. But have you ever heard of like the tall poppy syndrome?
Yes.
In Australia?
Yeah.
Where like they want all their poppies to be the same level. So if you grow too high and become too...
Chop you right down.
Yeah, they got to chop you down. And apparently she's been like a victim of the tall poppy
syndrome. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wasn't talking about
that. And people are concentrating on that, knock her down.
Aww.
She
seems like a nice girl, but you know.
She seems like a very nice person. I don't want to say anything about
her. No, but... she's very nice people, but it's just that's not my usually where I go.
Okay, well, it's much cooler than what I would have said.
Well, now I'm trying to think of something that's like super, like that would be really embarrassing that that's who I like.
I'm just going to mention that your first cassette was Word Up.
Yeah.
Cameo, so.
Candy is one of the best songs ever.
Okay, well, Word Up is maybe not.
No, but Candy
stood the test of time.
Oh, that was the name of the album.
Okay.
If you want to get Candy, get the album.
Okay.
And Single Life. And She's Strange. Come on.
The only thing that I remember is Word Up, and it just not.
You gotta gotta dig a little deeper.
They are trying hard in that song. They are digging deep.
Yeah, and he was wearing a red cod piece. That was fantastic. I was like, what is happening here? High top fade and a red cod piece. Who is this person?
So when you first met your Icelandic partner.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about business. Because you guys aren't in business together.
We are not in business together.
What was your impression of Icelandic music when you first heard it? Was Icelandic music on your radar already? Or?
Yes, it was. You know, because everyone I know loved Björk.
Uh-huh.
Some friends called her Björk, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not how you say it. I'm I'm not sure how you say it, but I'm pretty sure that's not it.
Bajoric.
Pretty sure it's not it. So yeah, I knew her, and I think that was it. That was all I knew of Icelandic music.
Yeah.
I had like 4 of her albums at the time that I met him. And yeah. And then when I met him, he was like, oh, some of my friends are playing at the blah, blah, blah. So we'd go see Moom or Gus Gus or what was the other, a couple other bands I can't think of right now that played in New York. And so I was like, oh, there's a little more to this Icelandic music scene then. Yeah.
So what, how did those bands strike you? Moom and Gus Gus and like people like that? Like the bands from New York, are the bands from Iceland who would come over to play in New York? I mean, I feel like that's like a certain set of Icelandic music right there too.
Yeah. Well, of course, Gus Gus is very, dance, like electronic music. I was like, all right. And Moom is much more like ethereal, like, oh, very Hidden People fairy kind of like is what they make me think.
Yeah.
Because it's all very, like they do a lot of vocal, what do you call that? I don't have the vocabulary to describe this.
That's why we should be doing a podcast about this.
Totally why we should, because clearly we're experts.
You know those videos that they do now where like there's a sound sensation that like sparks a certain
ASMR?
Sensory? Yeah, ASMR.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were doing ASMR before like ASMR was being done.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of sounds.
There's like wheels and pops and like breathy sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in Icelandic they call, I mean, I don't know if it's sort of like diminishing to what they're actually doing, but a lot of people call that kind of music krútt.
And what does that mean?
It means cute. It's kind of like cute. Mm-hmm. Or in British English they say twee. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I have.
It's just something that's sort of like small and precious.
Yeah,
and
it is a little precious Moom. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like Japanese candy or like, I don't know, something like.
Yeah.
It's like a little, it's like.
On the verge of being pretentious.
Yeah,
Just being pretentious.
I mean, I guess it's where you sort of decide to like how you think of krútt.
Yeah.
Because I think some people think of krútt as like a sort of a dismissive term or a reductive term.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe others think of it as like something that has a lot of merit to it.
Right.
I like some of the music.
I do too. There's my favorite one is, what is it? Ballad of the Birdies?
I have no idea.
I think.
What is that?
I can only remember the name of it. I can't.
Is that a song or an album?
Yeah, it's a song.
From Moom?
From Moom.
Okay.
Ballad of the Broken Birdies, something like that.
Yeah. They were just like playing a lot with sound and.
Yeah. And oh, the Ballad of the Broken Birdie Records.
Okay.
I like the Ruxpin remix number 2.
A lot of them are sort of like ambient.
Yeah.
Slow. I think, I don't know if this is really what it is, but there's like a kind of music called shoegaze music.
Shoegaze.
Where like you just like sit around, you like stand around at concerts and like stare at your shoes basically.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to like look at really. You're just like listening.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is actually shoegaze music, but I thought about that, the idea of like shoegazing every time we would go to like one of their concerts.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
I feel like I'm kind of shitting on them right now. I don't need to be. But like it's very much like not like American music, like super poppy.
Oh,
like,
definitely not.
Yeah.
Which is, I liked that about them, that it wasn't something that I'd really heard before.
Yeah. None of that music is like seems to be very commercial.
Yeah.
But I hear it all the time in movies now. And soundtracks. It kind of is soundtrack because it's very like mood inducing.
Yes. Yes. Very much mood music and just like get you in your feels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get you in your feels. Yes.
Yeah. But so we picked out a couple. How many did you pick out?
I just have 3.
You have 3. So I feel like I should talk about 3 then.
Okay. We can start with that and see where it gets us.
Yeah. So who do you have up first?
Should I start?
Yeah.
I'm going to take us back.
Ooh, taking it back.
Because I like to take it back with music. I told you I've been listening to like lots of movies or lots of music from the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back even further because I wanted to talk about, I feel like one of the biggest singers in Iceland is a guy named Vilhjálmsson.
Okay.
And he gets so much credit and he's like gets so much attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really more interested in his sister.
Okay.
Her name is Elli Vilhjálms.
Okay.
And that's not her real name. Her name, I think her real name is Henny. Doesn't matter. Everyone knows her as Elli Vilhjálms. She was popular like back in the 50s, I want to say, like the 50s and 60s. Again, none of this is like super well researched, but I think she got her start in like the late 50s. And she was part of one of the first bands. I think she was the only... She joined a band that was the only Icelandic band to tour with the USO.
Okay.
And when she came back to Iceland, she does have like a pretty like blow-you-away sort of voice. It's big and powerful. And it's quite a voice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And she recorded a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
I think she only put out two albums on her own. And then she sort of like went... She was a very private person. She sort of disappeared for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something that happened in the 1950s was before like the internet... Or this is maybe in the 60s. It was before the age of the internet and before like a lot of people were traveling around the world and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So when Iceland wanted to record a hit song, they would like borrow a hit song from somebody else. So a lot of her music is actually like very like oddly familiar.
You're like, wait a minute, isn't this...
I don't know if it actually is... I don't know if they actually got permission for her music.
Probably not.
I mean, yeah, probably not. But like, whatever. Like, that's just where it is now. But one of the songs that's really interesting, she has a song called "Heyr Mina Bein," which is sort of it's a sort of a slow. It's written in three. It's like very like, what do you call it? Like ballad like almost. And it's the exact same melody as the song that won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, okay.
In 1964, the Italian entry, which was called something, I don't remember. The name of the Italian song was something like "I'm Not Old Enough Yet" or something like that.
Ooh.
Which is just a...
Wow.
I know, it's just... It was 1964, so I don't know, but... Anyway, I'm glad they didn't pull the lyrics wholesale from that. Instead, they like did Icelandic lyrics, and it's a pretty great song. It's a really beautiful love story.
Okay.
So that's kind of a great song.
And it's not about statutory rape.
Not about statutory rape.
See, good.
Not even a little bit.
Nice.
But the song that really struck me about her is a song that an Icelandic friend of mine put on a mixtape for me a long time ago. And this, there was a movie that came out in 1962, and it was called Sjutini of Stalini. I don't know where the name of it comes, actually. It was from a book by Indriði Þráinsson. No, Indriði, I don't remember his last name. Starts with a thought. Anyway, it's a great book. It's about Keflavik and the NATO base that's out there.
Oh, okay.
And they decided they want to have like a killer song in the movie. And I don't remember who they got to write it, but they got Indriði Þorsteinsson. That's the writer's name. I don't know who they got to write the song, but she recorded it. Ellie Williams recorded it, and it's called or "The Roads Lead in All Directions," and it's a great song. It's a great little song.
Okay.
So should we give that a listen?
Sure. Engin ræður þau, hugur leit af ljóður á nátta, er hlóðu orð á þau, og lögsins græn á garðsins hjá, og gleði týrs í blænum, þá voru hjöftum heit og öll, og haming í okkar bænum.
That song became a big hit, and she has. There are several other songs that she does that are really nice. "Heyr Mina Bein," which is the one that sounds like the Eurovision Song Contest. "Allt mitt líf," which is what her collected songs are called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. And I feel like she's really. They made a play out of her life.
Okay.
That's at the city theater right now, and people have been going to it for months and months and months. It's been really popular. Yeah, so I feel like more people should give her a try.
Yeah. She sounds cool.
Yeah. You want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. So I'm thinking maybe I should start with... Yeah, see, all of my picks are kind of... Not all of them. But this one is kind of alternative punk, whatever, which is not my thing. However, Iceland, I feel like, does this particular kind of music well. Does punk well.
Yeah.
Like they do the indie, do it yourself. Yeah, let's go record some music. Do you know how to play any instruments? No. Yeah, but let's do it anyway, because I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And so.
You got any songs?
No.
There's this Italian song I think we can use. I never got
nervous. So a couple of my picks are like that. So one of them is called Groa. Is that how you say it?
Groa.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It means to heal. It's also a woman's name.
Oh, that's nice. And all the members are teenage girls.
Mm.
And none of them knew how to play instruments when they started. They're 16 and 17. One of them learned to play the drums from YouTube.
Uh-huh.
The bass player learned how to play from online guides. And their singer had never sung in front of anybody before their first performance.
Yeah.
So that's how they do it here a lot of the times. Like, my husband was in a couple of bands. His sister was in a couple of bands. Because, oh, why not be in a band? Let's just do this shit. Yeah, you know. And they have a very traditional kind of punk sound. I know punk, the history of punk, is not supposed to be like traditional sound, but
yeah.
Eh, that's what happens to all music. It becomes traditional.
Yeah.
So they have a very traditional punk kind of sound. They're very fun kind of girl punk band. And, I gave them a listen. They were cool. Two of their songs that you can look up if you want. Ocean is Amber and Downward Dog. And they've been, I learned about them from the Grapevine, Reykjavik Grapevine.
Which is a great source for music.
Yeah, because they have their ear to the ground. Is that what you say? Do you have your ear to the ground?
Ear to the ground. Yeah, that one sounds right.
We've lost all of our English. So I was going to play a couple of their songs. See, since they're new, they don't really have like a lot of history.
Right.
To go into, but this is just to give you a taste. And you know what? Now that I listen to it after you played some of Ellie, I can feel her influence musically.
Yeah.
Like just and they probably have no consciousness of this.
It's probably in their
Right. But it's in their musicality.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
How did you find them again? Through Grapevine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can we hear some more?
Yeah. Here's the other. That was Ocean is Amber.
Uh-huh.
And this here is Downward Dog.
Choose.
That's Grohl.
Huh. The second band that I want to talk about, they really remind me of Grohl, actually.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
It's two teenage girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Before we go on, I want you to say their names.
Okay.
So that people know who they are and can look them up. And I don't want to say them and butcher them.
Well, it's Grohl. That's the name of the band. G-R-O-A,
yeah, but
right?
The individuals.
Oh, okay. Hrafnhildur Einarsdóttir, she's 17.
Mm-hmm.
And Frida Björg Pétursdóttir, also 17. Oh, and also Karolina Einarsdóttir.
There you go. Those are the girls in Grohl.
Grohl. So, these are also two teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about them really until we saw their video.
Okay.
Their video is off of the
hook. Oh, you sound like you're 40 years old. It's off the chain. What did the kids say?
It's getting off the chains. It's falling down someplace. Life alert. Call the police. They're falling down. The song is called Into the Dark.
Okay.
And, there's like super weird dancing in it. It's ominous because it's like dark. There's violent weather in it, but it's also, it's like torchlit backdrops against mountainscapes.
Sounds very Iceland.
They have like group choreography set in like, set in a high school.
Okay.
With like, a basketball team. But also there's like these like doppelgangers. There's like an adult doppelganger for the children, or if a child has an adult doppelganger, and they like move in the same way, but they also dance against each other.
Oh, that's creepy.
But it's super sick. No, it's not creepy though.
It's not creepy?
No, it's like kind of beautiful and like weird, and it's just like super duper creative. And you know, the movements that they do, have you ever seen like Semaphore? You know, like where they hold flags in certain ways to like send messages? I feel like they're doing Semaphore, but with like no flags. There's just like these crazy violent hand.
Okay, so what's the name of the group?
They're called Between Mountains.
Oh yeah,
have you heard
I've
of, them,
heard of them? Yeah,
I really like them. They're from the West Fjords.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is from Thinkere, and the other one I don't remember where the other one's from. Suðureyri. One of them is from Suðureyri,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is from Núpur, which is close to a town called Thinkere.
Okay.
And there's literally a mountain between them.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name.
Between mountains.
Yeah. I just like it because, you know, like you were saying, they were like, hey, let's start a band. Do you want to start a band? Sure. Do you want to play anything? I don't know. Okay, let's just do it. All right, that's fine. And they just started doing it. And then they're making like, it's pretty cool music, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
But isn't one of their parents like a musician?
Not that I know of. Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like I've heard that. Maybe I might be making that up.
They are, their families are both from the West Fjords.
Yeah.
So I think everyone in the West Fjords is I'm an X, Y, and Z, and also a musician.
Yes.
Which, I mean, doesn't surprise me at all.
I'm just looking at my notes because I actually put them down as something to investigate Between Mountains. And I listened to a couple of their songs, and this is what I wrote down. Happy, shiny, indie rock. That's what I wrote.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's Happy, Shiny?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is kind of a little bit dark, actually.
Really?
Yeah, especially this video. It's very dark.
Mm.
And it's literally called Into the Dark.
Yeah.
I also like that when I saw the kids.
Maybe it was, you know what song it was? Little Sunny Flower, I think.
Okay, I don't know.
That I listened to, and I was like, this is like happy, shiny indie music.
I like that when I saw the video, I mean, these are teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just like, they seem like super comfortable with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was wearing like mom jeans, and they're just like dancing like with however they want to dance.
Yeah.
And they just seem like they're doing it for themselves. You know what I mean? And I really liked it. So they won Musikkillerinnis 2017, which everyone was just like blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And David Frick from the Rolling Stone was there, and he was like, these kids, oh my God, this is amazing. So there's lots of expectations, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they put out an album yet. They played at Airwaves last year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think everyone's just super excited for these kids to like, just see where, you know, see where they're going to go. So should we play can we play Into the Dark? Thank you.
But I also wanted to play like the song that I thought was like Happy Shiny.
Sneakers in winter time, it feels like summer, it's a Christmas cry. The grass is getting greener and the snow is gone. The picture's now clearer that you belong. Then I looked onto the ground to see what I have found, a flower in the grass, hoping you would drown. And the little sunny flower told me I would grow, it told me where to go. Told me what you know. Then my little sunny flower told me where to look. It told me what you took away from the ground. Then the little sunny flower told me where to look. It told me what
I guess
you
this kind of dark when you listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, I haven't listened to them that well. That's the first time I've heard that one.
It told me what you took from the ground, the little sunny flower.
Yeah.
Like you know, rip the flower out of the ground, like you killed it. What you took. Ooh.
That sounds dark.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe they aren't shiny happy after all. Oh, so I wanted to talk a little bit, touch just a smidge on the Icelandic hip hop.
Okay.
If you'll go there with me, my friend. And if you'll do me the pleasure of saying their names.
Jói Pié and Króli.
Yeah.
They're huge right now here.
They really are. and correct me if I'm wrong, it was Jói Pié, is how you say his name? He's the one that came out when that band was doing blackface.
No, Króli, I think was
it. It was Króli.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, not cool. He's like,
don't do this.
Yeah. I was like, look at the little young kids being like, yeah, blackface was never cool.
He's also the one, you know, the UN Women commercial?
Yep.
Where the men are reading the account.
The he for she thing?
Yeah. Which is, I had some problems with that. But,
me too.
But during this commercial, there were men reading an account of a woman who had been suffered from gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't realize it, but it was actually the woman who was sitting across from them. And it's revealed at the end that the woman who was sitting across from them was actually the woman who suffered the violence.
Mm-hmm.
And all the men are just sort of like, oh, my God. You know, it sort of hits them. And it's like,
this happens to real people.
Yeah. Then like this person sitting right in front of me.
Yeah.
And he broke down in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really, really vulnerable and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how great that like this kid who is like the epitome of this country's hip hop.
Right.
Is like not toxically masculine.
Yeah.
You know, like he's crying and
He's sensitive. He stands up for what's right.
He's sensitive, but he's also very strong.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of a spaz and he has super red hair.
Yeah.
And he's just not your typical, just like.
He's a regular teenage kid, but also very in touch
with
what's going on.
Yeah. Good job, Króli.
Yeah. We like him.
Yeah.
And all of their songs are very catchy. Like, I don't understand a word they're saying.
They are, I have to say, they're very catchy.
Extremely catchy.
Yeah.
Like, I find myself just like, you know, bopping along to them. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm bopping to.
They're a little chill. They're just a little boop, boop, boop. Little shoulder shimmy.
I love all of their intros.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't really understand what they're saying, I'm kind of like, I could take or leave the lyrics or whatever.
Yeah.
But all the intros, perfection. I always feel like, oh, this is going to be a good song. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, it's that song.
Their lyrics, I feel like, started off being just sort of like, why do I always like the bad girls? Why can't you look like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a little bit like that. I mean, they're definitely not, like, super masculine. Like, you know. They're definitely like, poor me. Like, why do I also always
fall? They're not doing the traditional hip-hop, like, one-upmanship type situation.
Exactly.
And like, look at me. I'm doing all of this. Look at my cars. Look at my girls.
What was the hip-hop song in the 90s where he was like, he gets cuckolded, basically?
Bismarcky?
Wait, how's it going?
Baby, you got what I need. And also Bismarck, he can't sing. So when you sing along, you feel good about yourself because he can't sing either.
But I loved that song because it was like he was doing what everybody else wasn't doing.
Yeah.
And that was cool way back then.
Yeah.
And they're, I mean, I applaud them for doing that now. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, we've moved on and more people are doing that. It's a much cooler thing to do now. And I feel like their newer album is more like global sort of like issues facing humanity. Okay. Or like the human experience, maybe.
Yeah. I only know of, but I noted two songs that I listened to as part of my research. Nysta.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, is I'm not probably not saying it
there's
right.
There's one that's Nysta. Just like huge.
And Yeah,
that one's been like their hit this year, I think.
Oh yeah, so I've been listening to both of those.
But Bia O Bia A, that's the song that swept everything.
That's right.
And launched them to celebrity.
Yeah, I didn't put it on here because I don't know why I didn't.
I feel like if we're gonna play one for the good folks at home,
mm-hmm.
it should be Bia O Bia A.
You think so?
Yeah. Which is, the song is called Bomba, and it's about falling in love with, you know, the bad girls. But it's taken from something that, like, another celebrity said.
Mm-hmm.
He said Bomba, but he spelled it B-O-B-A, which mm-hmm. he left out the M, basically.
Yeah.
But they just took it and run with it.
They're like, sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, B-O-B-A, Bomba. Fading that out?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
But wait, what was the other? There was another one I wanted to play.
The Autotunkelne? In the direction of the moon?
Yeah.
Basically towards the moon. There are two artists, Joey Pie and Krogle.
Right.
Joey Pie also did a project with, I don't know, some other guy
mm-hmm.
who's not impressive at all. But it's called, what is it called? But it was like the summer song.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the Danes have this thing that they strive for called hygge?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was like a hip hop song about hygge, kind of.
Mm.
And that's really where Joey Pie, who's, it's where he like sort of debuted his sort of weird pronunciation thing that he does.
Mm.
Let's see if I can find it. Jag är bomba på höjs, hej. Om går att lägga mer, jag är hävda nice, hej. Räcker timma för er vässen. Jag är bara renna nota medan jag är leven. Okej, slagur och bara vipen. Säg det mer, att jag är sjätten. Fresh shit, rätt och kaka micen. Okej, vill du fucking nice. Det slagur och njota och leva. Fagur dagur, jag goddur, jag finda. Jag är slagur och njota och leva. Slakur, anjota och leva.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't say slakur, anjota och leva. He says slakur, anjota och leva. And that became like the buzzword of the summer.
Okay.
Like slakur, I'm laid, I'm relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying life. Beautiful days. I'm good. I'm feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
That became like the, that was like what everyone was saying.
It was the summertime of Iceland. Yeah. Like, you know, summertime.
Just relax. Everything's fine. We're just enjoying ourselves. Slow down.
It's just a good time.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is my last one.
Yeah.
So, I don't like this music at all, actually. But I love...
Solid intro there, Jonas. I don't like this music.
I love the fact that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I want this to happen. And I want them to be super successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to go all the way to Israel. That's right.
Eurovision?
I'm talking about Eurovision.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I have not been participating in watching of the Eurovision Song Contest this year because, as you know, this year's contest is happening in
Israel.
Israel, and I'm not super jazzed about that
mm-hmm.
because I think there's, you know.
I'm sure there are lots of people who are not.
Yeah. And a lot of people are boycotting it. A lot of people have just decided not to participate in it at all. There's one band here, however.
Mm-hmm.
They're called Hatare, or mm-hmm. Hater.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of they call themselves a multimedia, like art group.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of kids from art school.
Oh, goodness. You're not selling me on this. So you're talking about art school kids doing something. It makes me think it's not going to be good.
They're like super anti-establishment.
Oh.
And they go whole hog in their performance. And when I say whole hog, I mean, they really do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a techno BDSM queer group.
Wait, say that one more time. Let me get all the boxes. Techno?
Mm-hmm. BDSM.
BDSM. And uh-huh. When you say BDSM, you mean bondage.
Sadomasochism.
Domination.
Sadomasochism. Yeah.
Sadomasochism.
And I mean, they're sort of using like the accoutrements of these things. Like the like spike masks and leather straps. So, yeah, exactly. That's one of their aesthetics.
Yeah.
They're linked to like metal and shouting. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's terrible to listen to. But it's super anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, part of their critique is obviously everything that Eurovision stands for or has come to stand for.
Yeah.
So in the last contest, it came down to like them and Hera.
Okay.
So they might go
mm-hmm.
to Israel.
That would be kind of good. I got it. Yeah.
They've also let me see if I can find the news story. Icelandic Eurovision hopefuls Hatare challenge Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to a wrestling match.
Of course they do.
They say, this is an official statement from award-winning Icelandic anti-capitalist BDSM techno performers art group Hatare. We address our statement to Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel and Chairman of the Likud National Liberal Movement. We members of Hatare hereby challenge you to a friendly match of traditional Icelandic trouser group wrestling, Glima.
Mm.
The wrestling match is to take place on Magen David Square in Tel Aviv on May 19th at the time of your choosing. We will use traditional Icelandic trouser group rules. Illegal holds and unsportsmanlike conduct will lead to disqualifications and ensure drengskapur is upheld.
Mm.
A neutral UN-sponsored referee will be present. If the chosen Hatare trouser group wrestling champion wins this fair match of Glima, members of Hatare reserve the right to settle within your borders, establishing the first ever Hatare-sponsored liberal BDSM colony on the Mediterranean coast. If Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wins the Glima, the Israeli government will be given full political and economic control of South Icelandic island municipality Vestmannaeyjar. Members of Hatare will ensure the successful removal of the island's current inhabitants.
What?
We await your swift response at our email address. Da la la la, da la la la. And then they have, at the end, they say, Hatare men sigra, hate will prevail, which is also the name
mm-hmm.
of their song.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
I don't know if I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll be right back. I'm sort of thinking, like, you know, thank God, like, Iceland does have that attitude of, like, you want to be a musician? Okay, let's go do that. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that means, like, kids from Marco will be like, okay, hey, you want to go do the thing for your version? Yeah, that sounds like
fun. It's techno metal. Oh, okay, yeah. Let's
yeah,
do
that's
it.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah. Oh, do you want to do that thing with the prime minister? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I'm really not into the competition this year. And if they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm never into the competition.
Just do something like super anti-establishment. Like
yeah. This. Is it super anti-establishment or am I just cynical?
What do you mean?
Like, I gotta know that it's super anti-establishment.
I mean, I think that any time...
Because it's in Eurovision.
Like, yeah. No, well, I mean, they were around before Eurovision was around.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that they're like want to be do it like do this as part of Eurovision is not for like any sort of glory or anything like that. It's part mm-hmm. of like the performance still.
I see.
But they do their music is still on Spotify. I mean, mm-hmm. they are still like art students and they still are like they were born in a capitalist society, so like they're still gonna operate within it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like the things that they're saying are like anti establishment messages that mm-hmm. are going to Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, they're going to be performing it in Icelandic,
mm-hmm.
which is also...
That's true.
It's anti-establishment as far mm-hmm. as, like, going to
yeah.
Eurovision. Like, most people, like, capitulate and do perform the song in English.
Yep.
French if you're from France.
Because mm-hmm. that's how the French roll. And no, we will do it in French.
We will have it in French.
Merci. We will parler le français.
No, I mean, I like that something like that is happening. I'd rather mm-hmm. have something like this happen than anything else.
Yeah.
If they're going to, and besides like a total boycott,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if it was ever on the table, but it would have been great if Iceland could have said like, no, thanks. We're not going to do this year.
Yeah. Would have been very symbolic, I guess.
Yeah. Is anyone not participating this year?
I have no idea.
I mean, I know there's plenty of people around the world who aren't mm-hmm. watching.
Yeah.
Or like who normally would watch who aren't watching mm-hmm. now.
It would be, like, pretty powerful if, say, like, UK didn't participate.
Absolutely.
France, Germany.
Yeah.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah.
If they were like, no thanks.
Yeah. They put a lot of money into it, though. So if one of them pulled out, it'd be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tighten up the purse strings. Okay. So I feel like
So that's something that's happening in Icelandic music right now that's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. That's like beyond that the people out there may not know about.
Exactly.
So as a counter to this super edgy music
uh-huh.
that you've brought, I have somebody who's not edgy at all that I discovered at the kindergarten where I work.
Okay.
Some of the young girls there put it on for the kids. It's kind of dance, pop, hip-hop, R&B, whatever, you know, whatever is going to sell is kind of the vibe I get. I don't know if that's actually who he is. Started playing as a young man in middle school, started tinkering around with the music. I guess now he's probably like in his early 20s or something. You might know better than I do.
Okay.
Friedrich Dorr.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what does that mean?
Go ahead. I mean, he's just like the epitome of Eurovision.
I know.
Yeah.
He's like... the establishment.
Yeah.
And the kids love him.
He's super poppy. It's very catchy.
Yeah. I was like, who, what? The kids, you know, get up and do all the little dance moves. So I was like, who is this person? I just happened to see on a screen, you know, where the Spotify was set up for the kids to pick out music. I was like, oh, it's this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super conforming. Whatcha doogie? What's it called? Super establishment guy. But, you know, writes catchy tunes.
Yeah.
Do you have a yay or nay on him? Do you have any feelings? Because I didn't really know him.
For our kids, we play some of his songs.
Oh, yeah.
There's another guy who does kids songs. He's called Dr. Gunni.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like his stuff a lot. I think I like playing his music a little bit more.
Yeah, because it doesn't make you feel as consumer-y, like, commercially, like, slimed.
Frito doesn't really make me feel that way, I guess, because I don't know. He's just like, I don't know. He's just...
Iceland. You're making a face, though.
Yeah.
No, he makes you feel a certain way. That's not a positive way.
Yeah. I mean, some of his performances do, but like also some of his songs...
What about
like,
his performances?
No, I mean, they're just like... they're like very staged and like, you know, sort of over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But also he's gotten a little bit older now. He's like a little plumper now. It's just, mm-hmm. he's just not... know. Sometimes you look at him and you're just like, oh boy.
You're like, stop
just,
doing that.
Just relax.
Stop doing
relax,
that.
Relax. Calm down. Yeah.
Because I know none of this.
But he has a song about like, I'm the luckiest dog in the world. No, I'm the happiest dog
happiest
in the world.
Happiest dog in the world, yeah.
Yeah, the kids love that song. And it is a very fun song.
Happiest dog in the world.
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah, let me see if I can play that tune for you. Both of us should maybe go get some insulin injections now.
Just, you know. Stick it sweet.
We need help with processing all that sugar.
Well, I'm hoping that we can just sort of like leave our audience with
a little something to chew on.
Yeah. Well, I have this one song that I just, that for like the last couple of months I've been listening to, and it's just, I just think it's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's not on everybody's radar right now, and it should be on everyone's radar.
Okay.
Do you know who Olvar Arnalds is?
Maybe. I don't know. No,
it's confusing because there's Olav Arnalds,
mm-hmm.
who's also a musician. And then there's Olavur Arnalds,
mm-hmm.
who's, they're totally different musicians. She's like a, she's got a little squeaky voice and she plays like on tiny guitar and like.
She's like Tiny, what was the guy's name? Tiny Tim?
Yeah, Tiny Tim, but she has like a, yeah, exactly. She's like a tiny female assigned to Tiny Tim. This guy is like, he creates like very moody music.
Uh-huh.
And I think that he used to be like a hardcore drummer.
Okay.
And he's just pulled like a 180 entirely now.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like sort of like strings and pianos and like deep vocal, but just like super, super beautiful and just like very considered and quiet and lovely.
Okay.
So should we play it? Should we play our audience off with this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that case,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say bless y'all.
Bless y'all.
From winter. Deep, dark winter.
It's getting brighter, though.
Yeah, it's getting brighter. And
slowly but surely. It's
just super cold.
Mm.
Just crazy cold.
Biting.
So this song is called Particles. Mm-hmm. Or Particle. Particle or Particles. I don't know. And it's from an album that I don't know the name of.
Mm.
But we will post all this information.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
Play us out, Jonas.
Okay. I have to find it now. I don't have it.
I thought you had it queued up.
Okay, sorry. Island Songs is the album, by the way.
Over me.
publicity devour me. Just say goodnight, I'm already down. And I cry.